This is the eHealth Radio Network, your source for health advice on demand. And now your host, Eric Michaels.
Thanks for joining us once again here on the eHealth Radio Network. This is your host, Eric Michaels. eHealth Radio gives you the most current health information, news, and advice featuring some of the leading innovators in healthcare and wellness who are changing healthcare as we know it. For more eHealth Radio reports, we invite you to visit our main radio channel site at eHealthRadioNetwork.com. Today we are speaking with Mr. John Dwyer, President and Founding Board Member of the Global Alzheimer's Platform Foundation. The organization is dedicated to speeding the delivery of innovative medicines to those in need by reducing the time and cost of Alzheimer's disease clinical trials. Mr. Dwyer, a pleasure to have you with us today on eHealth Radio.
Well, thank you very much. Great to be here.
You're more than welcome. Good to have you out with us. So for starters, what is the state of Alzheimer's disease in the U.S.?
There are currently over 5.3 million Americans that have been diagnosed with Alzheimer's in the United States. And to put it in more understandable terms, in terms of its social impact, there's someone being diagnosed with Alzheimer's every 66 seconds in this country.
And certainly some stunning numbers right there. Now, what do treatments look like for those affected?
Well, that's the good news. While this has been a disease that has suffered from a lack of new therapies for over 15 years, the good news is that depending on how you calculate it, somewhere between 80 and 100 new drug candidates are in the process of being developed for treating Alzheimer's. That's the richest R&D pipeline that Alzheimer's has had in many, many years. As a consequence, the science is improving every year, and the shots on goal in the form of opportunities to discover a therapy is improving every year. But Alzheimer's research takes a lot of time and a lot of money. So while there's great hope given the rich pipeline of therapies working their way through the research process, we've got to try and do everything we can to speed that process up.
Also, Mr. Dwyer, how many people are predicted to develop Alzheimer's in the next 5 years, 10, or even 20?
Well, if we don't get a therapy, one way to look at this is by 2050, that 5.3 million number I gave you could be 30 million. Another interesting statistic is today, Alzheimer's is by any measure the most expensive or in one or two most expensive diseases that we have to compensate, we pay out of pocket or the system pays for. By 2050, it will be as big, the cost of Alzheimer's will be as big as today's defense budget if we do not do something about the disease.
Again, eye-opening information. Now, if Alzheimer's will become an epidemic, why haven't we found a cure yet?
Well, if you have 5 million folks sick with the disease, you've got an epidemic. It's just that epidemic is a term we associate with viral contagious diseases, and that's not this disease. But 5 million anything is a very large disease category. And so trust me, for all intents and purposes, it is an epidemic. Now, the reason we haven't found a cure, and I am not a clinician or a scientist, but I am a very motivated patient advocate with a family history that makes me very motivated. I can tell you, this is not easy. The brain is probably the organ least understood by science. It's quite clear that Alzheimer's is a disease process that is influenced by a multiplicity of factors. But at the end of the day, the science has to catch up with all that. And I'm going to tell you again, I'm highly invested in the results. So I'm feeling good that the science is making real progress in understanding the root cause of Alzheimer's. But even now, there's still a lot of work that needs to be done to understand which part of the development of Alzheimer's is the most susceptible to being attacked to develop a therapy that will work. And that's what these, you know, 80 trials I was telling you about is all about, trying to come at it and find out which of five or six different, what they call mechanisms of action, which five or six different parts of the process are the best place to attack the development of the disease. Does that make sense to you?
Certainly makes sense, and appreciate your sharing that thoroughly. Now, tell us, what is the Global Alzheimer's Platform Foundation, or known also as the GAP Foundation?
So this is really an important program. We're a not-for-profit organization dedicated to speeding up how clinical trials are conducted in Alzheimer's disease. The big problem we have in Alzheimer's disease is increasingly we're trying to recruit people for trials that are, this is exactly the language the scientists use, cognitively normal, but beta amyloid positive. So think of it this way. You, Eric, sound like a very together guy. I am a cognitively normal individual, but one or both of us may be carrying the biomarker associated with putting us at risk for developing Alzheimer's more likely than the normal individual in the community. As a consequence, it's like you're a heart disease candidate and you've got maybe a history of heart disease or high cholesterol. It doesn't mean you're going to get heart disease. It just means you're more at risk for heart disease, right? So what we try to do is we have to recruit for clinical trials people that are very healthy to mildly healthy, but they are at risk of developing the disease, and persuade them to come into clinical trials. So Global Alzheimer's Platform has been designed to go into communities across this country and make people aware of, one, there's hope, two, there's a way to do something about bringing that hope to reality, and that is, three, being involved in clinical trials. And we need a lot of volunteers per year to get more knowledgeable about clinical trials of all forms and fashion, and go down to our great clinical research sites or others and be evaluated to learn more about how to stay brain healthy, by the way, and also to learn more about whether they should or could get involved in clinical trials. That's our whole mission, is to let our fellow citizen scientists get aware of how to get involved in this, and then make trials as participant-friendly and as effective as possible. Now, to do that, Eric, we've done this in two different ways. The first is we've created a network of 55 of the best clinical sites in the United States, all of which are dedicated to performing clinical trials better in a more patient participant friendly way, and get more done in less time. And second, we've dedicated ourselves to taking a community approach to this discussion and talking to our fellow concerned citizens and telling them there really is something we can do to attack this epidemic-like disease. But the community has to come together, talk about it, be aware of the existence of clinical trials, talk to their physician, to their health plan, and most importantly, come to great clinical research sites and learn more about how to stay healthy and perhaps get into clinical trials. If we do those two things, create this network that's ready to do trials faster, better, and at a more efficient manner, and then get Americans to really respond to the challenge of getting involved in research, we can find a cure. It's just that simple, but it's not simple in execution.
Today we are joined by Mr. John Dwyer, the president and founding board member of the Global Alzheimer's Platform Foundation, here on eHealth Radio's Alzheimer's Information and Health News Channels, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. Now, Mr. Dwyer, if you would explain in a general sense how clinical trial works and how the GAP Foundation plans to help speed this process.
Sure. If you look at what we do, first I got to give you one more data fact. The most feared disease in America for people over the age of 50 is Alzheimer's. The thought that we will lose our memory, be unable to retain our personal history and recognize our loved ones, is a terrifying threat to many of us. And so there's a lot of folks that don't want to talk about it, that don't want to act on how they can maintain their brain health or how they can affirmatively do something to attack the disease. And we're trying to reverse that. That's the number one thing GAP is trying to do, is saying there really is evidence-based research that says you can undertake a wellness program that improves your chances, just like you can undertake a heart program to improve your chances of reduction of heart disease. And if you go to our website, www.memorystrings.org, we have some information and are going to continuously update information about that. That's number one. Number two, how we're going to do this is in over 25 communities already in the United States, for example, Kansas City, we are engaging the whole community to talk about this problem across doctors and government and employers, and most importantly, the active community writ large, to ask themselves, do you want to learn more? Do you want to volunteer to help yourself, your family, and your country? And are you curious about how you can improve your own quality of life and the quality of life of others? Then we say to them, we've got these great scientists waiting to talk to you to come into a clinical trial. And here's how a clinical trial works. First of all, you sit down with investigators, researchers, and they'll tell you, I've got a fitness trial, I've got a nutrition trial, I've got a drug here that's in the form of a pill, or I have a drug here that's in the form of an infusion product that is an injection. And they'll go through the whole spectrum of scientific opportunities there might be that that person is well suited for to participate in a trial. Remember this, Eric. The first person to be cured of Alzheimer's is going to be in a clinical trial. So we give opportunity for people to learn more and then investigate all forms of scientific research to find out what fits for them and that particular trial. Then they're going to be put into a trial, and I assure you that some of the best healthcare administered in this country is in the context of scientific research. They get a battery of tests. They get a conversation with some of the best scientific minds in the country. They get to learn more about themselves and their own personal status and the status of the science. And at the end of a couple of years, they're going to know whether they've made a lifetime contribution to finding a cure. And I think that's a fair summary of how a clinical trial works. It's usually a monthly interaction, sometimes quarterly interaction with a researcher at a great institution designed to give that patient a safe and effective research experience, and hopefully they are better for it, and society writ large is better for it.
And minorities are being underrepresented in clinical trials. Why do we need to get more African Americans and Hispanics involved in clinical trials?
Yeah, they really are. There are a lot of reasons, not the least of which is clinical research 50 years ago or longer was frankly, improperly undertaken in some cases, and African Americans in particular were not treated well in research many decades ago, and there's still an appropriate wariness in the African American community of how that was done. The Global Alzheimer's Platform is enormously committed to having a frank, open conversation with African Americans and the Latino community about how important their participation is in clinical trials. Let me explain it this way. For a variety of reasons, African Americans and Latino folks of Latino heritage are much more at risk for Alzheimer's than folks of European descent. And it seems to be, in some respects, correlated with other diseases where associated with metabolic syndrome. And so the incidence of diabetes is higher in those communities than it is in the European descent community, Caucasian community. If we're going to have therapies that work for everybody, we have to have everybody in the trials. And if you've got 30% of African Americans at risk for experiencing Alzheimer's, which is roughly double what the Caucasian community's incidence of the disease is, it's in their enlightened self-interest and candidly the country's interest to make sure we have a therapy that can effectively treat the whole Latino and African American community. Now, we're doing a lot to solve this problem in terms of discussing and then encouraging folks to get involved in research. So we just had a outreach program in Boston just a couple weekends ago where we put on a production of a really informative play called Forget Me Not, which basically discusses the a patriarch in the African American in an African American family learns that he's got Alzheimer's. He's a Vietnam vet, and his decision to get involved in clinical trials. That's what the play is all about. We had 1,000 folks in Boston attend 2 showings of that play. And from that, we have seen a large group that wanted to learn more about clinical trials. This coming Saturday, July the 1st, we're going to have another two productions of Forget Me Not in Kansas City. And over 1,200 people have signed up for that event. And we're similarly pleased and enthusiastic that there's that much enthusiasm and interest in learning more about clinical trials. When the information is presented to the African American Latino community in a manner of openness and validated trust, folks get involved. And we're very encouraged by these 2 events. We're going to do another 6 to 10 over the next year. And a lot of other methods are going to be used to increase that discussion. Our goal is to ideally have every trial approach a 20% minority participation rate. That is, if there are 100 folks in a trial, we want 20 of them to be of African American or Latino descent, and that will come close to properly weighting the trial to represent the total demographics of this country.
And of course, all of us here at eHealth Radio certainly appreciate all that you're doing in the space. In conclusion, what can people do now to help in the fight against Alzheimer's disease?
To learn more and be a volunteer in the fight, or to have a family member learn more and see if they can get some information to help them with their own brain health and be part of trials, they should go to our website, www.memorystrings.org. It will give you important trial-specific information and tell you where there are trials near you with great institutions that are undertaking those trials.
Again, Mr. Dwyer, we certainly have appreciated your joining us here today. Again, thanks for all that you're doing. And again, thanks for joining us here today on eHealth Radio. Much appreciated.
Thank you, Eric, and thank you to your audience.
And you're most welcome. Our pleasure. We have been speaking with Mr. John Dwyer, the president and founding board member of the Global Alzheimer's Platform Foundation. The organization is dedicated to speeding the delivery of innovative medicines to those in need by reducing the time and cost of Alzheimer's disease clinical trials. And for more information, simply visit globalaltsplatform.org or memorystrings.org. And this has been Eric Michaels, and we do thank you for your continued support of the eHealth Radio Network. Join us again soon for another episode that will help further expand your knowledge on those things that are important to your health and wellness. For more eHealth Radio reports, we invite you to visit our main radio channel site at eHealthRadioNetwork.com. We do thank you once again for tuning in.
Thanks for tuning in to the eHealth Radio Network. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit eHealthRadioNetwork.com.